Give you all the praise, all the glory. Father, we trust in you this time of the year. We just give you all the glory. In your son's mighty, loving name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Woo. Thank you, Jay. Wow, Fred, 41 years.
41.
Awesome. That's older than James. You've been married longer than James was alive. I would say that about me, but I'd be lying. And we know we don't lie in church, right? Yeah, good morning, my family.
Good morning.
Oh, look at that, all the way to the back. Yeah. Woo.
Thank you all.
Look at that. I try to see if I remember all you guys, because it's been a while, I think. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And of course, when the linemen come, that's like 30 already. Woo. Man, this is an exciting season, yeah? Even if we get COVID and stuff like that, it's just, you know, to see fans in the UH arenas watching the games, it's like, yeah. And I think there's Basketball Friday at the Civic, the Vulcans, like, wow, I cannot wait to go do stuff. Yesterday, after men's ministry, we went and we shot a little bit hoops for like, I went in there for like 20 minutes, okay? 20 minutes. I was guarding Levi. You know our little Levi? You know, Dion's son? I was like this. Man, I was just, it was pretty bad. But I was trying to have fun. But it was really tough watching and running around chasing a little kid because they're fast. But man, it's just a great time of year, and I'm enjoying and trying to make the most of it. The thing is, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready for what? Ready for shopping? My wife's hand would be up. Two hands would be up, guaranteed. Yeah. How many of you got your Christmas tree? Is it up? Decorated? Lighted? I know Dot's one is. Dot has the nicest Christmas tree that I ever seen every year. It's like, wow. I think we could take lessons from, maybe you gotta do a class on decorating, but are you ready for the traffic? What? Come on. You know, I guess, how many of you live out this side? How many of you, when you come in home, you try to go to a back road, you try to go to Kilauea, because you don't like take the main road because you'd be stuck in traffic. Last week, my wife texted me. She must have been driving, though, I think. She said, I'm stuck in traffic. I've been here by KTA for 20 minutes. So, like the great husband that I am, I said, go to the mall. Yeehaw! Go to the mall for a little while. I didn't have to ask again. Woo! U-turn, repent, boom, straight to the mall. Are you ready for the food? How many of you overate Thanksgiving time? I ate lunch, and I was paralyzed for the rest of the afternoon. I didn't eat much, but I was just like stuck on the couch. I wanted to go outside and work and do something, but I just couldn't move. It's like, this old age is getting to me. Man, you ready for the cookies? And the candies, and the desserts. Yeah, exactly, no can. You know, my doctor made me test my blood every morning. Whew. I tell you, take care of yourself now. And the only reason I'm trying to take care of my health, because if I'm not healthy, I cannot take care of you. So it's all because of you that I gotta try to be better. Because I love you guys. Yeah, so don't ask me what my blood count was the last couple days, because it was off the charts, over the roof. And if my doctor's watching this now, she's probably going to tell my wife something, because my wife works for her. So I cannot really hide anything from her. So if anything's wrong, she's going to, you know, I'm going to get it. And then what am I going to do? Blame you guys, right? Because that's what pastors do. They blame the congregation for all the cookies, candies, pies that you guys baked me and said, oh, I made it myself. You got to try. But are you ready? Because you and I, this season, It's more than shopping. It's more than eating. It's more than traffic. It's for you and I, it's a season where we got to get down in the trenches and get to work. In Matthew 9:35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." See, in this section of Matthew, when Jesus was going to the villages, healing the blind, the mute, even raising a young girl from the dead, here you can see the compassion that he has. And he describes the people as harassed and helpless. Sounds like what we're going through now. People are getting harassed by the tax guys, by the government, and it's like, what can they do? What can they do to defend themselves? They're like sheep with no shepherd. They're like people with no one to guide them. I mean, you go to the mall and they're just focused on one thing, is shopping and getting things that they need to get for themselves or somebody else. They might not be even thinking about God. You know, when I sit down in the mall, I like to just watch people and I wonder and I think, are they saved? Will they go to heaven if they die? You know, this scripture kind of describes the world like we know it now. People are harassed by Satan. They are defensive because, hey, they don't know the Savior. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know that this guy came from heaven in the form of a human thousands of years ago for them. They don't know that. You know, Jesus is the one who can fight for them, fight with them. If someone walked past you and they tripped on the ground, would you help them up? Or would you just like turn your back? You know, I hope we would help them up and help them get up and pick up their things. I hope we wouldn't ignore them. But people are tripping, they're falling, or they're dying all around us. And would it be right? Would it be right if we just stand by and watch them die and go to hell? I hope not. See, the thing is we need to get ready for is we got to get ready. We got to get ready with the word, with the gospel, with the good news. We got to get ready and take it out there to our neighbor, to our loved ones, yes, even to our boss, even if you don't like them. Or even that, you know, if you have a neighbor you don't like, what better way to get them saved and get their lives turned around so that they might like you and you might like them? The thing is, number one, we cannot sit and do nothing. There's a crisis going on. I don't know about you, but I look at the obituaries daily in case some of you pass away and don't tell me. Yeah, because it happens. You know, and I look at it, and sometimes I see young ones passing away, and I'm thinking, like, what happened? Did they get hit by a car? Did they take their own life? Because I certainly hope not. But we got to get the word out there. Now, in 2 Kings, there's a story of 2 Kings 7. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. It's a really cool story. There was a time when there was famine in the land because the enemies kind of surrounded them and they cut off all food supplies, everything going in and out. So there was a famine. Now, there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate because they couldn't go in because they were leprous. They had this incurable disease. So they were at the entrance of the gate. They said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die?" So they were dying anyway, right? They couldn't go in to the city to get food. They couldn't go out because the city was surrounded. So why? What are we doing? We're just sitting here? We're going to stay here, starve, and die? I mean, that's kind of like suffering. And we'd rather just bite the bullet, die, instead of suffering. So that's what these guys are saying. So why don't we sit here and just die? So if we say we will enter the city, then the famine in the city, and we will die there. If we sit here, we will die also. Now therefore, come, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans who were surrounding the city, and if they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, we will but die. So kind of makes sense, right? Why don't we just go to the enemy? If they kill us, we'll be out of our miseries. If they don't, then, hey, we will live. So that's what's happening. So in verse 5, they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. And when they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and the sound of horses, even the sound of a great army. So that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." So these 4 guys, they're dying anyway. Why not end it faster, going to the enemy's camp? But when they got there, it was abandoned. And guess what? Choke food. Yeah. Woo! Better than Thanksgiving. And not only that, gold, silver, clothes. Now, with the famine going on in the city, wow, this is like a major discovery. Has the potential to save lives. Now think about it. I'm an outcast. These guys in the city, they don't like me. I got all this food. Suffer. No, we'd like to, right? That's the old me. Thank God is the new me. So they said in verse 9, they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us." What do we think? Maybe they would have felt guilty? They would have like been agonized, like, man, I got this really, really good news. And I feel crappy because I'm not sharing it. "Now therefore, let us come and go tell the king's household." So they came to the gatekeepers of the city, and they told him, saying, "We came to the king, the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of any man, only horses tied and donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were. Wow. So they went and told, and so they kind of didn't really believe him. So the king had to go send and check it out. And when they found out what they're saying was true, of course they went and they got food and they fed the village. You know, I don't know what they did with these four lepers, but you know, hopefully they gave them something, even if they had to isolate them. You know, we have good news. You know, before coming to Christ, you know, us fishermen, we don't tell people what kind of bait we're using. Right? Because somebody else can use them and catch more fish than us. We don't tell people where we're going fishing because that's our secret spot. Right? But when you come to know Christ, you know, we share. I went fishing with James, and you know James, he's like a fantastic fisherman. Yeah? And he catches fish all the time. Except for yesterday. Well, I think he might have caught one Hinalea, but he was fishing in Hilo someplace. That's why he never catch anything. But so we go fishing. And when I'm with James, I'm sorry, but he catches all the fish and the fish don't bite my line. So he tells me what he's using for bait. He shares his secret with me. And not only that, he gives me bait. He doesn't give me just one little piece of bait. He gives me a handful. And I thought, wow, this guy is sharing with me his secrets. And it's like, wow. Because he could just stand next to me all night and, you know, whoop, 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 whoop. And I'd be like, man, kick him in the water. But we share. You know, when I go fishing with Uncle Al, you know, I tell him the fish is biting. The fish is biting. Down the 30-foot cliff, 100 yards to the left. Because I have this good news. But he tells me, Pastor, we're not that young. We cannot climb down that cliff anymore. And it's like, oh, but the fish is biting. That's all right. But at least I shared the good news where the fish was biting, right? So he cannot hold that against me. You know, you and I, think about it. We might be like these lepers. We may not have that flesh-eating disease, but we have discovered something fantastic, wonderful, awesome, something that we can say is a cure for COVID, is a cure for cancer, is a cure for diabetes, Alzheimer's. It's a cure to death. Think about it. Somebody has cancer. You share with them the good news. They receive Jesus Christ. They may still die of cancer. But isn't that great? Because when they die, they will live. Cured. Brand new body. Think about our assignment. Think about what we have inside of. In 1 John 4:4, it says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome him. Because greater is he, you notice his he is the capital H. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. So Jesus Christ, who lives in your heart, is greater than Satan who is in the world. You and I, we have been entrusted with this fantastic news. That Jesus came, this time of year we celebrate it. He was born as a child. He came. Imagine leaving heaven to come to this crummy place. Granted, maybe if it was Hawaii, yeah. But he went into the Middle East. Can you imagine? Leaving one luxury resort to go stay in one star hotel.
Not even.
Would you? But Jesus did that for us. He left heaven, the throne, the place where there's no more tears, crying, sickness, sorrow, disease, to come to us, to come here. Because he loves us. And not just us. We may think we're special and he loves us, yeah. But even for that person out there who's probably stealing cars at the mall now. Really, and shoplifting at Home Depot now. He died for them too. So number two, what are you going to do with this good news? I mean, really, what are you gonna do with this good news? Are you gonna like keep it inside? It's like, oh, I got this good news, and I don't know if I should share it. You know, like when there's like a really great restaurant that opens up. I'm sure you don't tell anybody so it gets too crowded and next time you go, you cannot get a seat. No, we tell, oh, but you gotta check out this place. The food is amazing. And we share it. And it's just a restaurant. It's not gonna save you. It's gonna make you bigger. Right? You know, sharing Jesus doesn't mean you get less of him. You can give him away all you like. Doesn't mean you lose him. I think you get more of him. In Mark 16:15, he said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to everyone. This is not a suggestion from Jesus, but it's a command to go. To take this good news that Jesus came to die for our sins so that we can have a relationship with him and one day be in heaven. In Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. So we have that power. We just gotta move and activate that power. Like these lepers, these four lepers, said, this is a day of good news. But we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning, punishment will overtake us. Thing is, if God puts someone on your heart to share, and you never went, because the Bible tells us to go, and that person died before you got to share Jesus with them. I think this is what the lepers meant. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Grief. There was famine in the city. People were probably dropping dead. Maybe they were reverting to cannibalism. Who knows? If they didn't go and tell them that there's food in the camp, and say they waited and 20 people died because they never brought the good news back. What if that one of that 20 was related to you? Oh, bro, you should have told us earlier. I will knock you out now. Punishment will overtake them. If God puts someone on your heart, in your path this season, take the good news to them. Don't wait. We gotta have that sense of urgency because people are dying. Christmas is here. It's a time when people will say, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind coming to church after all this COVID. I would like some answers. I would like some hope. And if maybe you're like, oh, I'm kind of ashamed because Pastor Scott, he's a little bit crazy. Then point him to another church where they're not so crazy. I'm crazy about Jesus. See, all we gotta do is take that good news to them. We cannot shove it down their throat, make them eat it and say yes to Jesus. We just take the good news to them and present them in the best possible way an opportunity to meet Jesus. Not like, hey, bro, you like to receive Jesus, turn or burn. But in the best possible way, present him. I'm going to close with this. Ezekiel 33:1-6. It's a scripture that was written for Ezekiel, but I think it has a lot of relevance for us. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon the land and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees a sword coming upon the land and blows a trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, a sword comes and takes him away, his blood be on his own head. Okay, so we take this good news to the people. If they don't listen, that's their choice, right? But if he heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take it, his blood be on himself. But if he had taken the warning, he would have delivered his life. So if we take the good news to the people and they say, yes, I want to receive Jesus, then he had delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming, which we see death coming every day, and does not blow the trumpet and his people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes that person away from them, he is taken away in his own iniquity. But his blood I will require from the watchman's hand, which was Ezekiel. He was warned. God told him, you better warn the people. Now, if God puts someone on our hearts and we fail to go, oh gosh, I cannot imagine what you might feel like later on. Every time God puts someone on my heart, I go, because I don't want to live with the feeling that, oh, God put him on my heart and I never go and he died. Oh, crap. I would feel like, you know what? Here, God appointed Ezekiel to be a watchman, warning the nation of the judgment to come. And you know, Ezekiel had to go and preach this message of hope so that the people who heard it, hopefully, they would repent. Because we cannot make them repent. We just are required to take this good news to them. What they do with it, it's up to them. But I say we gotta present it in the best possible way to give them the best possible chance of saying yes. So back to our opening scripture, there is a harvest out there that we need to reach. People are dying, sadly some taking their own lives because they cannot see any hope in this life. You and I, we get to take this good news and share it with them before it's too late. If how many of you ever led someone to Jesus? Come on, please, yeah. I tell you what, if you ever led someone to Jesus, there's no greater feeling. I don't care if you just ate one 21-ounce prime rib. There is no greater feeling than leading someone to Jesus. Thinking about they will be in heaven because I understood the Great Commission and I went go. Because the Bible said go. And go means?
Go.
Amen. And if you maybe you hesitate, maybe you shy. Invite them here. And then at the end of service, make sure we do a salvation prayer like we're going to do right now. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask the rest of you, even those of you out there on Facebook, bow your heads, close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you, even on Facebook, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you back there. Anybody else? Hold them high, so especially in the back. I know you can see a short. Anybody else? Hold up a hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. You have seen the hands. And I pray that each and every one of us will have this sense of urgency in taking your good news to the world, either in person or through the web, the World Wide Web. But we would not hesitate to whoever you have put on our hearts to go and save. And Lord, I pray for the heart that would be hearing this word, that their hearts would be open and receptive to hear about this gift that you have given to us. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand and let's lift our voices to the Lord, because when we fill our hearts with song, it's great. And we leave with this song and we have this lyric.